off the ball. Look, if we targeted getting off to a better start than we did against Mayo. We were very disappointed with our first half performance against Mayo. I think we definitely brought a lot of the learnings from that game out there today, particularly the way we defended.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. World Cup Daily on Off the Ball. With Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Hello and welcome along to Wednesday's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Leo Messi, Erling Haaland and Kylian Mbappe come to the party with all three on target at the World Cup. England begin their campaign this evening against old foes Croatia. And Cristiano Ronaldo gets ready to play the sixth World Cup for Portugal. But first up, Lionel Messi scored his first ever World Cup hat-trick to help defending champions Argentina get off to the perfect start against Algeria in Kansas. The 38-year-old scored once in the first half and twice in the second half in Group J. It was his 200th appearance for Argentina, and the three goals means he's now level with Miroslav Klose on 16 goals as the World Cup's record goal scorer. And on the football show last night, Argentine writer Marcelo Moura y Araujo joined Michael McCarthy and said Messi can enjoy this tournament knowing that he's already won it before.
Every World Cup that Messi has had to play up until the last penalty taken in 2022 was about can Leo Messi win a World Cup. That's happened now. I wonder if all of Argentina can breathe a little bit more coming into this one.
So that's what I'd like to think is possible. And all of Argentina and the players as well. I think, you know, it would be nice to sense that he will get a pleasure out of this and it will be a pleasant experience. I don't know how that pressure builds up, because it's not a sort of conscious decision by anyone to go, oh, we're going to put so much pressure on these guys until they like literally burst. I mean, 2018 was kind of unbearable, and the press and the players fell out and the camp was absolute discord and the players were getting threats and sort of WhatsApp leaks and viral things were out of control, and it was just horrendous. It was like a grotesque thing. And then 2022 became this love-in where the entire country felt as one, and increasingly so. So the first match, there wasn't particularly that much feeling of anything, and I was there for most of the World Cup in Buenos Aires. But, you know, by the sort of hours before the second game, there was like this, are we really maybe going home after today? I mean, is that a possibility? And then slowly, we all sort of gasped, and it felt like until the very last minute of every game, it was, you know, a tug of war, and everybody was joyous, and there were so many things, other things wrong with the country, the economy, the people, but everyone just loved it. And then there was this massive sort of catharsis where millions of people all over the country just poured to the streets, and it was not organized or planned or policed in any way, and somehow it was not catastrophic but rather sort of wonderful. None of that feels like it's due again right now, but then you have to build those momentums up. So it could go either way, I think, because if they say they play badly, or suddenly Messi feels like you know, before he won the Copa America and the World Cup, the pressure on him was palpable, and it was all about him not being Argentinian enough, not being Maradona enough. And I can see that coming again, because not really so widespread, because he has won the World Cup. And I think there is a younger generation that have only known him and they feel okay. But the sort of resentment and bitterness of the online world and some of the media and so on, that needs very little triggers when, you know, emotions are fragile. So if anything were to happen, like a, you know, an own goal, heaven forbid, or a missed penalty, I don't think Messi would bear the brunt alone as much as he did. But it would be, I can imagine becoming disenamored from the loving to the sort of, but then again, I don't think it would be a catastrophe, you know.
It's different.
And if you want to hear that back in full, you can do so now in your OTB football podcast feed. The other game in Group J saw Austria record their first World Cup win since 1990. Ralph Ranick's side beat tournament debutants Jordan 3-1 in San Francisco. Romano Schmidt opened the scoring. The second goal was an own goal, and then Marko Arnautović made sure of the win with a penalty late on for Austria. Kylian Mbappe is now France's all-time leading goal scorer after his two goals in their 3-1 win over Senegal. His second of the game was his 58th overall, taking him past the previous record holder Olivier Giroud. Mbappe's achieved the feat at just 27 years of age. Bradley Barcola scored the other goal, which had made it 2-0 at the time, before PSG teammate Ibrahim Mbaye pulled a goal back for Senegal. Meanwhile, Erling Haaland scored his first World Cup goals in Norway's 4-1 win over Iraq. However, the Manchester City striker insists he's not the tournament's top marksman, despite his two goals.
Goal scorer, I will say I'm up there. I don't think I scored the most goals this season, so statistically, no, I'm not, because I think Harry Kane and Mbappe scored more goals than me, and that's a reality, so no, I'm not.
Iraq boss Graeme Arnold was delighted his team got their first goal at the tournament.
You know, it's 40 years since Iraq have been to a World Cup, and the first goal they've scored. So it's, you know, I was very, very proud of the first 65, 70 minutes. And I thought that we did very, very well. We put good pressure on. We need to learn lessons from our mistakes.
On the football show last night, Michael McCarthy and Arthur O'Dea debated the tournament's quality so far to date.
Arthur, you were complaining it's all a bit shite. He was very low energy.
That was very Bill O'Hurley.
You have your influences in this game.
Yeah, no, it's not that. Look, at the root of it, I think, and Ben's dogged determination to watch everything is kind of key to the... I think it alludes to the fact that these games are compelling to watch because there's so much on the line. And it's like, it's part of the World Cup. It's all great. There's a basic appeal to it that is unshakable to my mind, right?
Yes.
But, and it's funny because I heard like Ronnie Whelan on commentary there in the first half mentioning it numerous times about how ineffectual Dembele had been, who obviously plays as a starring role in like the best club team in the world.
And went off injured in the Champions League final, which isn't that long ago.
Yeah, but I just think it does highlight some, because he's right. He's not tearing it up, but I knew it would happen with this game for some reason when it has such a big star-studded French team and stuff. It's very rare to see teams actually play well. I don't know of how many games where you'd kind of go like so far. It's like
USA are the only team that have played well so far.
Yeah, but is that and Sweden won and everything else, big wins and things like that. But like, it's very rarely good football.
Yeah.
Now, that's not a problem necessarily for the first part. I don't think it matters that much, and I'll watch as much as I possibly can because it's the World Cup. But it's just funny that what we're used to almost week to week, certainly Champions League and stuff, that it's like, this is a far cry shy of that in terms of standard.
Yeah.
Am I wrong with that? Like, that's...
I don't know if you are. I'm just... I wonder, are we a little bit too bogged down in... the standard of game. Like, international football is naturally going to have more of a mixture of top class players and more kind of journeyman types, then, especially with the way club football has gone, where less and less teams have the resources to compete. So all of the best teams are going to congregate in the same seven or eight clubs. So international football is never going to have that. So I would be more interested in what the entertainment value and the competitiveness and all of that stuff is. And I would say it's probably a little bit too early in this World Cup to have our sense of that yet.
Possibly.
It is early. It's been very standard fare so far. There hasn't been anything amazing. There hasn't been anything absolutely terrible. There's been no mad controversies, like, on the pitch.
Yeah.
I do think, like, obviously, between rules and the venue and some of the other issues, there's been plenty of controversy. But on the pitch, I don't remember too much, really, that we'd be overly concerned about. So, I don't know. Maybe this is just the way things are.
And remember, click follow in your OTB Football podcast feed so you don't miss a single thing over the next few weeks at the World Cup. And World Cup Daily and Off the Ball is brought to you by Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Smell your best when you look your worst. Now, looking ahead to today's action, England boss Thomas Tuchel says winning the World Cup would be the pinnacle of his career. The former Champions League winning manager takes charge of his first game at a major tournament when England faced Croatia in Dallas.
It's the biggest tournament in the world. It's the biggest competition. The biggest players play in the same tournament. So we dream. I think we have a right to dream, but we don't want to be delusional. We know that it comes with the responsibility, and the responsibility is on the effort.
60 years on from their 1966 World Cup win, he has this message for the England supporters.
No one expects that we promise to win it, but the way we play, the way we arrive, and the way we try, I think, and I hope that they can feel it and they can be proud of us, and to bring that joy, that's the underlying purpose.
England captain Harry Kane feels he's in some of the best form of his career heading into the opening game. He'll move level with David Beckham when he wins his 115th cap tonight. Kane has had a record-breaking season with his club Bayern Munich, scoring 61 goals.
From a personal point of view, it's the coming off the best season that I've ever had, which is obviously pleasing. And yeah, just from a physical point of view, just feel in great shape. And I think everyone is eager to, you know, prove that we have the capabilities of going far in this tournament.
After the goals from Mbappe, Haaland and Messi, Kane added those players inspire him to put his best foot forward.
Seeing the likes of Messi come here and do what he's done, and some of the other players, straight for America to have another sport. I know how well they do their sporting system. So, yeah, if they can get football right, then for sure it'll be one of the biggest sports in this country.
That game against Croatia kicks off at 9 o'clock. Before that in Houston, Portugal start their campaign against DR Congo in Group K. Cristiano Ronaldo will be involved for the Portuguese after he had his red card against Ireland reduced to just a one-game suspension. DR Congo will be appearing at the tournament for the first time since 1974, when they were known as Zaire. They have the likes of Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Cedric Bakambu and Chancel Mbemba in their squad. Meanwhile, former Manchester United defender Axel Tuanzebe will be tasked with stopping his old teammates Cristiano Ronaldo and Bruno Fernandes. The Burnley player says he won't give them any special attention.
Yeah, for sure. It's a little bit poetic, but that's definitely not my sole focus in the game. For sure, there's other objectives that I must oblige to still. And yeah, I think they're phenomenal players, very dangerous players. So we're going to have to be at the top of our game to stop them.
Sunderland midfielder Noah Siddiqui says he can't wait to walk out at the tournament later.
It means the world to be a part of this team that's going to attend to the first World Cup since 52 years. I'm really happy, really proud of it, and I can't wait to play the first game.
Elsewhere tonight, Ghana get their tournament underway against Panama at midnight in Toronto in Group L, and after that in Group K, Uzbekistan make their debut when they take on Colombia in Mexico City. Ruben Amorim is back in football. The former Manchester United boss will take the reins at AC Milan for next season. And on the news round last night, Mick Arthur and Eve Conway debated if any manager has successfully rehabilitated their career after leaving Old Trafford.
Yeah, if you just take what he did at Sporting, it feels like current AC Milan is almost the right next level. You almost pretend the whole Manchester United thing never happened.
Yeah, I guess it did though. So it's a weird old job for him. Like maybe I'd say it's too good to turn down. But
what should he have done? How do you rehabilitate yourself after?
Depends how he sees it, doesn't it? Like it depends how he regards the whole thing. Like, does he consider himself betrayed? To be fair to him, he's held his counsel up till now. I don't think he's spoken publicly about it. So maybe he's at peace with it. Like he hasn't tried to settle any. Now, to be fair to him, he had about a week or two to do it before they started seemingly winning at will. But it's they flow through managers, do you know?
I mean, who has successfully rehabilitated themselves after a failed Man United gig? Taking Jose Mourinho out of the equation as an outlier.
Moyes, I suppose.
Moyes went back to Pard, didn't he? Well, he never had the same. He's never going to get the job again, so I guess he is at a lower ebb.
Ten Hag hasn't.
No.
Solskjaer hasn't.
No,
it's a good point. Louis van Gaal was at the end of his career. Jose certainly, he wouldn't have been at that. All his success definitely came before Manchester United, really, although he is the Real Madrid manager for some reason.
And if you want to hear that back in full, you can do so now in your OTB Daily podcast feed for free. And Danny Rowell has left Rangers after just 8 months in charge to become RB Salzburg manager. The club says news of his replacement will follow in due course, but Hearts boss Derek McInnes is widely expected to replace the German at Ibrox. Rull only took over from Russell Martin last October and finished third in the Scottish Premiership. That's about all we have time for in today's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
World Cup Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.